Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is the Red, White, and Rude, where I talk on the intersectionality of culture and politics. As the great Andrew Breitbart once said, politics is downstream of culture, meaning whatever is happening culturally eventually affects us politically. And we're seeing that firsthand. And it's ironic that I quote Andrew Breitbart because he passed away, and that was a monumental loss. I'm going to continue my series here on Charlie Kirk, but this time I want to take it from a perspective of the reaction we're seeing. But on the positive side, the backlash that reaction is getting, and rightfully so. We've lost our values. We've lost our morals. We've lost our way. We've become a bit of a godless society. I always tell people that when the founding fathers said they did not want to mix religion and government, what they were saying is they did not want the government to dictate what religion we practice. And since then, that's been bastardized by heathens. And I say heathens because look where we are at. When you celebrate openly the death of someone simply because he expressed his opinion, and to make it worse, this individual, Charlie Kirk, was more than willing to sit down, talk to you, debate with you, all polite. You know what bothers me are the bigots who scream he's pitching theocracy. Since when did telling people that having faith in God is pitching theocracy? Since when is putting facts down on paper about minority crime, black, Latino, to show individuals, as we've all been taught from good parenting, good teachers, and especially in sports and in the military, that is life and death, you've got to look in the mirror at the facts and understand that to understand what you're doing, what's happening, and how to improve on that. That's what he was about. But those with TDS, Democrats, the victim mentality, or you're racist, you can't scream facts. I was just told a couple of episodes ago in my Fired Up podcast, check it out at grimleesmedia.com, that, well, William, well, how do you think that makes transgenders feel? Why? I said they've been responsible for 6 of the last 7 mass shootings, and they had. And then somebody else said, no, they're less than 1%. I'm like, yeah, when you go back to 2012, but it's like a 500% increase over the last 1 to 2 years. I can't remember. Don't have the notes right in front of me. I was stunned at these individuals. I'm like, y'all talking about feelings over facts? It just shows you have nowhere to go when you pull that nonsense out. And Charlie wouldn't have any of that. And they hated him for that because he could change minds. There's an image of a kid shown celebrating. Not even a kid, a man. I mean, he probably isn't even a kid on campus. And I do hope they find him and fire him, or rather expel him from the university. Celebrating hate is morally wrong. It's free speech. Maybe so, but a private organization has a right to fire you. A school has a right to expel you for conduct unbecoming of what their values are. You have free speech, but it's not unprecedented where you can say whatever you want. There are rules in place. We love to throw that around. You got free speech. We have free speech. I have free speech. We do. But everything has limits. Before I go on, let me do the administrative duties here. Please check out grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. You can find our new swag there. You can find our new swag here, and let me show you one of them. I don't have it with me tonight, but I want to show you. It's a good one. It's a cup. I'll keep it up there for a few minutes. But it's 15 ounce, big cup, monster size cup. You can swipe the code, the QR code. It'll take you to our store, or you can head on over to grumblingsmedia.com and check it out. So check out and support our all-volunteer venture here by ordering a cup there. Or we also have T-shirts and hats as well. Do not forget to follow us. And you're likely watching this on either YouTube, Rumble, Apple, or listening on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, under the handle Grumblings Media. And with that, do not forget to give me a thumbs up, like and share the podcast if you're listening to it right now. It does help and go a long way. All right, let's get to the topic at hand. When role models cheer murder, culture collapses. And again, per my opening, it's people were cheering. After Charlie Kirk's death, teachers and professors nationwide were cheering his death. And the topic at hand is that many of them have been fired or disciplined for cheering to death. Why? That's not the values the institutions want to see. And even worse, these people are role models. They're role models. Educators, even parents, influencers across the U.S. posted celebratory or mocking reactions online. And again, that triggered disciplinary actions, firings, and obviously public backlash. Now, supposedly this is creating a deeper cultural fracture. No, we're finally exposing and calling these people to account. I mean, what irks me is they celebrate this. And if it was their kid, this is what cracks me up about those with TDS or aren't conservative or do this. They mock this. They want every law. They want it legal for a 5-year-old to be able to drive or to take drugs or they want 16-year-olds to be able to vote. There's consequences. They never see it when they use their hate rhetoric to promote their agenda. But then when it happens to them, all hell breaks loose. All of a sudden, they become very conservative in their thoughts of how we should react, you know, condolences, this or that. It's kind of funny. It's not funny. It's actually sickening because they know this. But until it happens to them, they don't care. So what I want to do real quick here is show you guys a couple of videos here as to why we are here. What got us to the point that they would celebrate the death of an individual. And there are some conservatives who are down, mean, and dirty. Charlie Kirk was not one of them. Charlie Kirk actually changed people's minds. I think that's why they killed him. So what got us to this state? The word fascist. Catch fascist, meaning catch the bullet. That was found. And the left is always lying. Oh, we're not doing any hateful rhetoric. Bull bleepy. Check this out. Oops, check this out. Oops, let me remove this. Whoa. Let's fix this. There we go. Listen to this. Blow your mind.
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
This is what kicking the shit out of fascism looks like.
Try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us.
So when we say Donald Trump is a fascist, fascism, a huge component of fascism, is uniting racism, bigotry, a form of racist nationalism.
This is background. You're now living in a fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. We are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. We're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government.
Not only to roll over to Donald Trump's will, but to roll over our democracy and allow him to take over this country as a fascist dictator.
When fascism isn't just coming, it's already here.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core."
Western Lensman, give him a follow if you can on X. Brilliant, brilliant video that encompasses what the left is. Okay. That's what they do. Then there's Hitler. Then he's going to create martial law and suspend elections. All nonsense, all lies. You say and do this over and over and over, and a mentally unstable, look at all the transgenders doing the shooting, or a radicalized individual, the individual who assassinated Charlie Kirk, happens. This creates hate. And it's not just Kirk they're after. They're after every strong conservative that stands up for your American values and mine. as well as standing up for law and order. Here's how they treat Nancy Mace. You'll get a kick out of this one here, too.
The dumb cut.
Who'd you kill her from?
I just think that you're a hypocritical, lying, old sack of shit. The real lunatic is whoever does your hair and makeup, mama.
Nancy Mace, you are a fucking disgusting human being. You are fucking disgusting, you fucking bitch.
Hey, cunt, can you joke on a bag of dicks? Thanks.
Dumb bitch, it's me again. I'm gonna keep leaving messages, too. Because guess what? You have to listen to me, you dumb bitch. I hope you die. I hope you kill yourself. I'm just trying to harass you at this point, bitch. Fuck you, bitch.
That's what all that hate and rhetoric results in. And again, you know, I had a couple guests on a couple shows ago getting all fired up, and I held back. We were talking about it after the show, you know, and I said I held back because I didn't want to put them on the spot. I did some research, and I found a dozen hateful rhetoric pushed by elected prominent officials. There are none at that level by conservatives. Sure, a conservative will make a statement here or that, but I found no statements that say, get in front of them, get in their face, like Maxine Waters. And with Obama, if you said anything negative, you're a racist and they will cancel you immediately. So this is all one side. It's all coming from the left, period, end of story. They can lie to you and tell you, you know what I hate, is when they go, you know, both sides need to lower the temperature. Bull! It's not both sides. And they know it. What they want to do, they want to make themselves look pious as if they care. I know people who are saying that nonsense. I'm like, bro, I had to talk to you about the N-word. Bro, I know what you call your friends and bosses when they're not around. And then all of a sudden on this damn stump, as if they're purer than Jesus. Their rhetoric is what does this. Their rhetoric creates this hate. Their rhetoric is why we have had assassination attempts twice on Donald Trump and a successful one with Charlie Kirk. So, what's the backlash? Well, the backlash is simple. We're pushing back. At least a dozen educators nationwide have faced termination, suspension, or investigation for social media posts celebrating Kirk's death. And that's just a small number. It's growing exponentially daily. Why? We've learned how to fight. Before we go, look, it's a free country. They can do what they want. Now we're saying enough. Because if you don't stand up to a bully, they're going to keep bullying. So you got to slap him hard. In this case, we're going to make sure your institution knows. We're going to make sure families know not to send their kid. You know, and the ones that irk me the most are conservative parents. Stop sending your kids to college. Charlie Kirk preached that. You don't need college. They're going to go, you're going to go a few hundred thousand into debt. They're going to get a liberal arts degree. Oh, you and me nice to each other. Oh, how amoebas love one another to create mankind. Oh, women's studies. Oh, this is that. And there's no job. When I was hiring for the Alzheimer's Association, anybody who did not have a business degree, they weren't round five. They were put at the bottom of the pile. I looked for people who had actual business experience or at least had a business degree so they understood the concept. Why? We were running a business. Stop sending your kids to college. Middle Tennessee State University, they fired a staff member for inappropriate comments. I'm not going to show you any of these type of comments. All they do is they drive me angrier than I'm – they get me angrier than I already am. East Tennessee State placed two faculty members on leave. Now, we got to keep the pressure up so they get fired. One wrote, you reap what you sow. Another called the assassination a victory. See, so what happens if somebody sees that on our side as mentally unstable? Because all sides have it. That's the other thing. I heard somebody the other day say, you know, I'm not going to say what party because I know the person and I like them. But we must be the humans here. Who the bleep are you? How about we all must come together on this? But instead, he's so ideological driven. We are party. You know, it's like grow the hell up. Yeah. And I love the kid to death. I'm like, why would you say that? I know why. That's what you call indoctrination. That's what you call wanting to hate. And I fall into that class at times. But here's the difference. And I say this proudly. I always bring receipts. And then you know what? When I have people on the show that I like and they start spewing nonsense with nothing to back it up, I have to hold back. You know, I need to bring people I don't know or don't like so I don't have to hold back. But we got to keep the pressure on. Why? These people are role models. If they're preaching this or their students see it, regardless of age, then they, what they're doing is they're normalizing it. University of Mississippi terminated a staff member for resharing comments deemed countered to institutional values. Newport News Public Schools suspended a staff member who posted, "I hope he suffered through all of it." These are the people. And we would never do it, but if we saw them in an accident, I wish I could become spineless and walk away like they do. Instead, I'd help them because that's our nature. But man, these are just bad people. Bad people. Baylor University removed a graduate student from student teaching duties after posting about Kirk's death. Iowa teacher allegedly posted "one Nazi down, school board reviews coming. They need to fire him. We have to keep the pressure up on that." NBC reports, got to give credit, they're the ones who are whining about this, report multiple K-12 staff from California to Florida. So obviously it's not a dozen, it's way more. They've been placed on leave. Parents also share celebratory reactions. You know, you're a disgusting, pathetic excuse for a parent. And I don't care what parent it is. If somebody introduced me and I know they said that, I tell them, "Get the hell out of my face. Get out of my house. Get out of my store. Because you're a disgusting, vile human being for celebrating the death of somebody. Because your kids look up to you." Disgusting excuse for role models. And, you know, hey, our side has learned. We learn from the left. The difference between us is we do it with righteous truth. That's why these people are getting fired immediately. And there won't be a lawsuit because the proof is there. It's like this kid, the kid who shot and killed Charlie Kirk. Lawyers are saying they don't need a confession. They got all the evidence with his own words and his own writing. They don't need him. He's done. Thank God. So this wasn't just a social media firestorm where all this happened and it all went down. It exposed a deeper institutional rot in the people behind the post. So how did leadership respond? Florida's Department of Education issued a memo threatening investigations into educators. Good. Oklahoma State Superintendent confirmed an investigation. So the leadership is coming on and doing the right thing. And I'm sure a lot of this leadership is not conservative. School districts emphasize educators must serve as, quote, role models, leaders, and caretakers, unquote. And let's not forget TPUSA's prominence over 800 college chapters and 1,000 high school clubs. They're going to be well protected now. Or else these lawsuits will fly. And these kids are going to be like after an anthill has been stepped on. They're going to be everywhere. And they're going to make sure we hear and learn about what teachers, what staff members are being vile. Why? Because if it doesn't stand up to the school's values, fire their ass. I'm sick and tired of that's wrong. It's like they had the right. I had the right to go to that school and say he's not upholding, she's not upholding, it's not upholding the values of the school and pressure them, make their life miserable. That's how you fight back. You don't fight back with violence, but that's called peaceful protesting, not the BLM murders, rapes, and billions in property damage. I'm sorry, BLM and Antifa. You know. Then the critics said, well, look at these controversial stances. I just had a go around with somebody on Facebook. And he lied. I countered it. And finally he said, I'm appalled that you're defending this. I go, I'm appalled you're willing to lie so easily. And that's as disgusting as it comes because I easily countered every lie. And you're pissed off that you were called out. Okay. So some of the private organizations that have been canceling, I love this. Where do they go? Oh, here we go. Office Depot. Here's a story. Here, let me make this before I bring it up. It may be a little bit bigger for you guys to read. So what happened was there was a vigil that was being done, you know, candlelight vigil, and they wanted to get some posters made to send it out, and they put the order in. When they went to get the order, this moron, probably a bigot, likely a racist, said, that's propaganda, and they didn't do it. Well, obviously in this day and age, they recorded her. Office Depot, let me read this out. We are deeply concerned by the incident that occurred at store 3382 in Portage, Michigan. If you're in Portage, Michigan, do not go to that store if you're a conservative. And if you do, go to the store and say, I'm going down the road to this company because of what you guys did. Anyway, they went on to say, the behavior displayed by our associate is completely unacceptable and insensitive, violates our company policies, and does not reflect the values we uphold at Office Depot. We sincerely apologize to the customer affected and to our community for this regrettable situation. Upon learning of the incident, we immediately reached out to the customer to address their concerns. That it was too late. The customer getting the posters went down the road to FedEx. FedEx actually apologized that another printing industry, another printer in their industry was so callous, vile, and stupid. So they apologized for Office Depot. And the other irony here is Office Depot, Office Max stores are shutting down because they can't get enough business. Way to go, dumbass. So we are committed to reinforcing training, blah, 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 blah. They fired her. Later on, it came out they fired her, and they should have. Who is she to sit there and dictate policy for this company? Who? And here's another one. Oh, let me make it a little bit bigger here for you. Sony. Sony confirms the Sucker Punch developer who posted a joke about the Charlie Kirk assassination is no longer at the studio. This is hilarious. The community note on X. Notes suggesting context to be shown with the post. The only joke here is Kotaku. Kotaku is a very far left magazine that was finally sold, but they're being sued because of lies they stated about other individuals. That's just too funny. And then we have learned, and y'all may not agree with this, and that's fine, but you don't have the right, the moral right neither, to go, well, that they have a right to that. I also have a right to make sure, once again, to let their employer know, this is, they are representing your company. This is what they're saying. And if that company chooses to fire them, then God bless them. Because you're getting rid of a vile, evil person. That's my right. Y'all may not like that, but we've learned from the left. 10 years ago, I would have said, nah, you got to let them keep their job. Now I'm like, no. Y'all assassinating. Y'all, your leadership is telling you to get violent. And then they're making excuses. The mainstream media, he was assassinated, and they're still blaming him. And then they're saying, oh, yeah, it's so wrong. Trump's going to take it. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, sir, how do you feel about guns now that Charlie? Nothing to, this is a tragic event. It's all political, ideologically driven. And this is what's shaping our culture. That's why I'm talking about it. Our Democrat leadership, the mainstream media, and I'll get to it in a moment, Hollywood, entertainers, writers, they're shaping this narrative. Why? Because they've been pushed to do it. This is one of the few times it's the tail's wagging the dog, where politics is creating culture. The institutional panic is real here, my friends. It is real. Meaning they are sweating now, the people at these institutions. But it's not just about job loss. It's about what kind of culture we built. We built a culture of Sodom and Gomorrah, and now they're going to pay the price because we're using their own tactics against them. You want to hate? We're going to do everything to make sure you can hate in private or while you're talking to somebody at the unemployment line. That is our right to do that. Now, what about the Hollywood hypocrisy? Well, let's get to that. Where did it go? Here we go. So you first, there's private, public figures and influencers that have maligned Kirk. And some of them are going to get sued. This guy would probably have gotten sued had he not changed his tune. So Stephen King falsely claimed Kirk advocated stoning gays to death. That was right after the assassination. He later deleted the post and issued multiple apologies, admitting he failed to fact check and had misrepresented Kirk's podcast remarks. Oops. Don't want to disable the camera. So let me show you this. He advocated stoning gays to death. Just saying. Just saying. Think about that, my friends. Just saying. That was Stephen King. Now, he apologized again, because I think he would have gotten sued. But I want to show you another one in terms of how they, in terms of what I just said, or what King just said in terms of reading something on Twitter. Oh, where'd it go? He issued apologies, admitting he failed to fact check and had misrepresented Kirk's podcast remarks. I want you to see what I'm talking about with this one. A correction was made on September 11th. An earlier version of this article described incorrectly an anti-Semitic statement that Charlie Kirk had made on an episode of his podcast. He was quoting a statement from a post on social media and went on to critique it. It was not his own statement. What they were saying is that he had made an anti-Semitic statement. Now, they buried this. The only reason we know about it is we enhanced it, the conservative side. But they buried that. Why? They wanted the message of hate, the rhetoric of hate, the indoctrination of hate, to use the most powerful emotion out there, hate, to paint him still in a hateful way, despite the fact he was dead. Now, getting back to King. King did, as stated, I was wrong and I apologize. I had deleted the post. Then he started whining. This is what I get for reading something on Twitter without fact checking. Won't happen again. But then he continued to criticize Kirk's rhetoric, calling him a cherry picker of biblical passages. Boy, King is lucky that we don't, that most of us no longer practice or believe in the Old Testament. Or his day of reckoning will come. He's lucky that we are not like his ilk, believe in violence. Then there's Matthew Dowd. Again, this is culture. This is where we are getting our news from. MSNBC analyst. He was fired for suggesting Kirk's, quote, hateful words, unquote, led to, quote, hateful actions, unquote. What he was saying is Kirk is the reason he's dead. Kirk and only Kirk. No, the guy who shot him. And rhetoric like yours, Matthew Dowd, is why he's dead. Sue me. Take me to court. There's 10 million videos showing the word fascist, showing the word transgender. Now, NBC executive issued a memo condemning the comment and reaffirming a commitment to civil dialogue. They had no choice. The backlash by conservatives. Then there's old Jimmy Kimmel. He put the blame on President Trump, saying he was using the tragedy to divide Americans. No! Trump was speaking the truth. But Kimmel didn't address the celebratory reactions. That's a guy, when he goes, in fact, him and everybody associated with his family may go, man, why is it so warm in here? That's how vile and evil this guy is. He blatantly lies every night about Trump. Then there's Madison Bailey from Outer Banks. Reposted clips of Kirk's and words, I don't promote violence, just reminding y'all who y'all are mourning. Again, they think it's cool until something happens to them. Then why? And I'm not condoning anything that happened to anybody. I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for. You don't want 80 million people who know how to handle a gun in a war against you, because that's what you guys are pushing towards. Now this, can't say the word, but it's a female dog. Her posts were amplified by progressive accounts. Then there's social media amplification. Influencer accounts on TikTok going, this is where I'm like, shut him down, Trump. Just shut TikTok down. They were mocking him. This is our culture. This is what it's come to. One less fascist. Notice the term fascist? Hashtags like Kirk was asking for it, and no tears for Charlie. God, y'all so screwed in the afterlife, and karma is a biatch. The negative energy. When best-selling authors and media personalities distort facts and frame murder as justice, it's not just commentary, it's cultural conditioning. And it doesn't stop at Hollywood. The Rock climbs higher, infecting elite institutions and echoing across borders. That have fallen further than even us. The UK, for instance. You put a meme, they're going to jail you. But they don't mean jail anybody who puts leftist, liberal, or transgender memes of hate towards conservatives. They don't go after them. Just conservatives. They just went after this big-time comedian. Got off the plane, they were there waiting for him over three posts. Now that this happened, though, and they see what's happened, they're like, I don't want this to happen to me. But Oxford Union's incoming president, George Abaronye, he celebrated Kirk's death. Oxford Union. I just sat there and said some of them don't want it to happen. They don't. But here's this moron celebrating in WhatsApp and Instagram. Now, his expulsion has been called for. He needs to be fired. He needs to go. Then the Ukrainians praising Kirk's murder. Ukrainian. I have been saying from day one, do not support them. If you want to see actual Nazism, there's documented stories. Before this war broke out, all the mainstream media were talking about how white supremacists they were, how vile this country was. The war happened, all of a sudden, they're the next thing since the greatest thing since sliced bread. So from Oxford to Kiev. Look, this riot isn't just national here to us in America. It's global. But the media's role, it's even more insidious. So videos of Kirk's assassination obviously circulated on TikTok, X, and Instagram, most without any content warnings. Teachers reported students were traumatized by the footage. Some interrupted the class to discuss the shooting. So what is social media's role in amplifying political violence and desensitizing youth? You know, magazines have checks and balances in place by law. So does television, radio, even YouTube, those type of places. Maybe it's time for some of these real-time organizations to do the same, specifically on X. We don't need to see the shooting go down like that. Why? I don't care. But we have kids on the platform. And that's what these freaking First Amendment liberal to to everything's gonna be free and open. You know, again, until it's their kid that gets messed up in the head, radicalized, and shoots everybody down, they don't care if it happens to anybody else's. But we've got to have some checks in place. Look, the next generation isn't just watching, they're absorbing all of this. And some are pathetically, disgustingly celebrating it. Those are the ones where you want to take that parent to the woodshed. Now, I want to talk about this briefly, but there's a viral petition that's calling out for media accountability law that revived the Smith-Mundt Act as a Charlie Kirk Act. Now, the original act banned government-produced propaganda from being distributed to U.S. citizens. It's a 2013 amendment under Obama, or that was removed, or under Obama, that removed that. And it allowed federally funded media to influence domestic audiences. So I can see it coming back for that. But at the end of the day, you know, despite supporters arguing that the shift enables ideological smears and misinformation, and they believe this contributed to the rhetoric that killed Charlie Kirk, and they're demanding new penalties, I don't see it working. They're proposing fines for outlets and creators who spread false or inflammatory content. But the truth is, major players like CNN, ABC, MSNBC, and most of the mainstream media wouldn't be affected because they're privately owned and they're not federally funded. And that renders the act pretty much just symbolic with no teeth. So why bother? So we the people are demanding accountability, but the institutions, they don't need to be held accountable. Now, maybe the schools do because they do take federal funds, but not the corporations. Now, I want to talk about racism. What I love about Charlie Kirk, he could convince black Americans and Latinos to change sides because he would sit there and speak the truth. There are many black conservatives and cultural figures, Latinos, Asians, who defended Kirk and mourned his assassination. I want to sit there and play a couple of these here, if you don't mind. This one here is a couple of minutes long, but I'm going to play it in its entirety. Listen to this gentleman. Let me make this a little bit bigger here, slightly bigger, so y'all can see it.
Charlie Kirk sent me a direct message, and I'm going to show you what it said. This is almost 6 years ago exactly now, as of this video. I had not spoken to him in person or on social media. He started the conversation. You know what he said? Three words. You are terrific. Now, bear in mind, this is back before I was blessed with the followership I have now. I had fewer than 10,000 followers on Instagram, very small Facebook presence, wasn't even on TikTok at the time. But the fact of the matter is, this young man, this leader of Turning Point USA, reached out to me and saw something I had done. And he felt so moved that he reached out to me himself to encourage me. And then he went a step further. He invited me to the BLS, which is the Black Leadership Summit Turning Point USA was putting on in Washington, D.C. I told him, transparently, I was in between jobs and didn't have the money to fund my trip. He told me that they had scholarships available and to email him directly and he'd be able to take care of it. I did, and that's the story of how I got to be a part of the Young Black Leadership Summit, which was instrumental in springboarding me to where I am today. Now, I share that story because he didn't have to do that. And if he was a racist person, why would he do that? I'm so tired of people being besmirched by the tired liberal lie that anyone they don't like has to be some sort of racist. And I'm not immune to this. They call me racist myself. Of course, it's ridiculous on its face, but this is the nonsensical nature of your average leftist. They really want you to believe deep down Charlie Kirk hated all black people. He saw the best in everyone. He saw in me something I didn't even quite see in myself at the time, and he chose to encourage me. That is why I will literally and metaphorically pick up that mic and continue the work that he started, because I myself and many others are tired of being slandered and maligned by individuals who have nothing to sell us but fear, panic, and lies 24/7. I had to share that story with you. I thought about keeping that to myself, but the more I see him being typecast as some sort of evil person, the more I cannot be silent, and I hope that you will not be silent as well. It is time for action like never before. It is time for voices to rise like never before, and I hope you will join me in that effort. So that is the real Charlie Kirk, the one they don't want you to know, but the one I will continue to remember and honor with my actions into the future. So those are my thoughts. Hopefully you share, and hopefully you get busy as well, because we all have microphones to pick up, and we are all Charlie Kirk.
That's great, and I'm with you, brother. You know, I got involved in the politics because of identity politics. I had nothing. I mean, I was a middle class, probably middle class, you know, not upper, you know, maybe closer to the lower. We were middle class. I wasn't hurting for anything. But I was given nothing from anybody. Out on my own at 18, that was my dad's rule, you're 18, get the hell out of the house. I came back for like 6 months because I joined the military, was waiting to get in. I lived the American dream. Nobody helped me. But I had to look at my own demons in the mirror to understand what I needed to do to succeed, to take the next step. And that's what Charlie Kirk did. And by doing that, they label him a racist. They label him a racist. Here's a couple pictures. Here's one of two individuals holding a vigil. I want to say it's Brooklyn, with many others around them. It's a Freedom News or some kind of ministry there. Then here's TPUSA with Kirk. You know, minorities there. He changed their lives, as most of them say. There's David Harris there, I think, looking a bit thinner. I think that's him. There's Brandon Tatum. I don't really recognize the others. But they're all prominent in their own fields in terms of what they're trying to do. And then here's another one at an event with Kirk. You know, and the reason I get so angry is because Kirk is trying to make a difference. He's trying to help others that are less fortunate in terms of opportunity. And he did. And they hate him for it because they want to keep us on the, you know what, the Democrat, fill in the blank, Asian. Toss us a few breadcrumbs. I'm Latino. I don't look at, but my relatives, I'll say this every podcast if I have to get it through your heads. My grandmother, Afro-Caribbean looking. My mother, Korean looking. My oldest sister, rest in peace, Doris. She had the Indian, Native American from or Panama, and Asian look in there. When I went to Benome to visit where she grew up, I was like, oh, I see that where you got the looks, you know. So, you know, I had a stake in this. because I come from a mutt family. So the Democrat Party's framing of Kirk as universally reviled by black Americans, I easily counter there. It shows that many black conservatives saw him as an ally, someone who amplified their voices, defended their values, and challenged institutional narratives. It also exposes how racial identity is always weaponized by the left, the silent dissent within minority communities. Some of the people who supported him, Pastor Blessed Uzochikawa. He's the husband of a Nigerian gospel singer, Mercy Chinwo, posted a tribute calling Kirk a man of conviction, courage, and dignity who never wavered in his beliefs. Now, we are in a godless society, but God is coming back culturally. Again, that's what this podcast is about, positive culture. Culturally, Gen Xers are rising up, looking for faith, looking for God, looking for hope, because they know government's not going to give it to them. They know government's going to lie to them. They know government's been lying to them and taking from them. And he faced backlash for honoring Cook. He stood firm. Truth is not tribal. Courage is not color-coded. That's so wonderful. Truth is not tribal. Courage is not color-coded. And something similar to that, that truth is not tribal. It's similar to, you know, facts aren't feelings or something like that. Then there's Ali Baba, a Nigerian comedian. He mourned Kirk's death and expressed relief that the shooter wasn't black or Arab, saying the media would have used it to smear entire communities. His comments sparked debate, but highlighted how racial narratives are weaponized in media coverage. Dez Bryant. You know, I've come to respect Dez Bryant off the field. I have. Kind of like Randy Moss and others, the former NFL wide receiver condemned the celebratory reactions. Quote, y'all excited a man got murdered because you didn't like his politics. That's sick. Unquote. Brandon Tatum, who I showed you the picture, he was in the picture there. Former police officer, former SWAT member, and conservative commentator posted, Charlie Kirk was one of the few who gave black conservatives a platform without tokenizing us. He was a real one. And that's so true. One of the greatest disgraces that the Republican Party has done is they crapped on Thomas Sowell. To me, Thomas Sowell is our greatest intellectual. No, it's not. I forget his name. You know, he was on Fox all the time. It's not him, a former liberal. It's Thomas Sowell, and they never gave him the platform he deserved. Then there's Shekinah News. Reporting a black-led Christian media outlet ran a They ran a tribute called Charlie Kirk, A Voice for the Voiceless, praising his defense of religious liberty and parental rights. People forget, black America is very religious, at least in the South, with the Baptists. Man, you go, it's like going to an event, going to a Southern Baptist church that's a black church. It's like, bam, I'm in a freaking Broadway show here. I'm saying that in a very good and complimentary way. So why they called him racist and why it misses the point? Charlie Kirk was labeled a racist, not for slurs or hate, but for citing uncomfortable data, crime rates, fatherlessness, academic gaps, and cultural breakdowns within the black communities. And, you know, toss Latinos in there. Toss working class and poor whites there. I'm not trying to diminish blacks, but I'm like, that's starting to happen more than just one culture. Where we try to end it, Democrats are still continually pushing this. Why? When you have somebody who's looking for hope, they can pretend to give you hope, toss you a few breadcrumbs, and they get your vote. That's what they've done since the 1960s Civil Rights Act that was pushed and passed for by Republicans. Charlie Kirk spotlighted success stories. Black Americans who rose through biblical values, strong parenting, disciplined teachers, sports and military service, not government programs or grievance politics. And the backlash came because he rejected the victim narrative. He argued that personal responsibility, not systemic blame, is the path to greatness. Look, I can echo this truth. I succeeded. When I stopped feeling sorry for myself and I started building, and the military taught me that my final 2 years in, I realized, hey, I can do it. Screw you. I can do it. And I did it. My fantasy sports company was ranked in at one point we were in the top 2,000 in the world of websites. Now, granted, this was late 90s into about 2006 before I sold it. And then I left the industry right around 2015, maybe 12, right around there. Yeah. I was raised by a mother where my father was working all the time. I did have a father, though, but it was mostly my mom's upbringing. She was grounded in faith. I was pushed by coaches, by teachers, by mentors. They didn't care about excuses. So I always had it in me. Just when you start the party, you know, and you screw yourself over. No, it's not me. Yeah, it was me. But this isn't just about black culture. The same decay, as I said earlier, is hitting Latinos, poor whites, and even the working class. The lie of permanent victimhood is destroying everyone it touches. And until we look in the mirror, we look at our own flaws, we're never going to rise to succeed. And that's the ugly truth that Charlie Kirk preached. And it's why they tried to silence him. Because once you look in the mirror and you understand, hey, it's me. It's me. You will better yourself. They told us black Americans hated Charlie Kirk. But the truth is, many mourned him. Not because they agreed with every word, but because they saw the smear campaign for what it was. Ideological warfare dressed up as racial justice. They told us Charlie Kirk was dangerous. Then they cheered when he was murdered. Not just fringe accounts, the mainstream media, elected Democrats, teachers, professors, and even parents. The very people entrusted to shape the next generation publicly celebrated an assassination. And when the backlash came for those employed, and leave out the elected because nothing happens to them most of the time, but when the backlash came for those employed, they played the victim. I was just expressing myself. It's free speech. But the truth is, they enjoyed it. They loved it. It's who they are now. And they weren't shocked at the killing. They were shocked that anyone dared to call them out. This isn't just about one man. It's about a culture that rewards cruelty, institutionalizes hate, and punishes anyone who demands accountability. If educators are role models, what the hell are they exactly modeling? And if parents are joining in, what future are they building? The mask is off, the rot is visible, and the reckoning is overdue. There you have it, my friends. That is our show for tonight. Before I forget, make sure you give this a thumbs up. Make sure you like, share it, pass it on. That's how I survive. Make sure you bookmark grumbliesmedia.com and check out our swag. You can do that at grumbliesmedia.com as well as checking us out under the profile Grumblies Media at Rumble, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, ePandora. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for taking time out of your life to share this time with me. And until next week, I am William Del Pilar, and this is the Red, White, and Rude.